Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Economics and the Spiritual Path, hosted by David Axelrod with guidance from Dax. Each show expands on the language, ideas, and insights from economic thought that can empower and enlighten the journey through your inner environment toward healing, creativity, and spiritual expression.
Economics and the Spiritual Path. I'm your host, David Axelrod. If you'd like to call in to chat and ask questions or make comments, the number is 646-564-9714. Again, that's 646-564-9714. So as we continue our discussion on the relationship between choice and decision making and economic behavior and spiritual expression and all those things. Next on the agenda is a discussion that I refer to as choice wisdom, thoughts and perspectives that I try to encourage people to consider. In terms of how they interact with people, how they are with themselves, that centers around choice, not only choosing for yourself, but sort of giving space for other people to choose. So the first bit of wisdom here would be choose for yourself when you can. The idea here is As much as fun as it can be at times to sort of like just sit there and let the world magically show up and give you things that you like and treat you well and all that that has its place. The greatest magic comes from being able to choose for yourself. That when you are given options is to take the empowerment route. And it's important for a couple of reasons. One, very often the person is most likely to make the best decision about the things that you want to experience in life is going to be yourself. For the most part, you're going to be pretty familiar with what your tastes are, what your vulnerabilities are, for the most part. And so that's one thing. You're more likely to get something closer to what it is that you really want. Another thing is that decision-making and choosing is like any kind of activity or behavior. And that requires practice to get good at it. One way of imagining what this means is that think about your brain. and all these connections with the neurons, and some people refer to as, you know, neural nets. And one of the things that psychologists and neuroscientists have learned over the years is that part of the way we learn comes from experimenting and, you know, seeing what works, what doesn't work. So every time we try to do something and it succeeds, that tends to reinforce the neural path that led us to actually behaving the way we did. And if it doesn't work, then that tends to diminish the strength of those networks. So you have to practice in order to get good at almost anything. And that's the same thing with choosing. If you don't practice choosing, you don't get as good at it as you could be. And what does it mean to be good at choosing? It means being able to select the behaviors or ways of thinking or attitudes that serves you well, that brings you closer to what it is you're trying to accomplish. And that certainly can have impacts on the people that you love, your friends, and the world in general. So that's the first one. Choose for yourself when you can. The next one is choose the alternative that conserves or generates the most potential. Okay, so what does that mean? In general, when we make choices, sometimes we just think of it as, okay, it's either this or this or this, and I choose that, and that's the thing that I'm choosing, as if it's a fixed thing. And it does at times look like that. But the deeper way of looking at it is what we choose is what our options are going to be in the future. So each moment is a transformation of what is feasible, of what alternatives we have in front of us to choose from. And so while the easiest way of describing something might be, I choose to take the bus to work today instead of driving a car. Or I chose to go to the Thai restaurant instead of the submarine hoagie. That's what they may look like. But within every choice is a series of other choices and decisions that come from that. So what does that imply? So one of the things that can be very useful is that when you make choices is that you want to maintain as much potential for the future as you can. In other words, the choice today, keep in mind that you'll have other choices to make in the future. And that, you know, you're going to want to have options and alternatives that you like, or at least like more. And that aim of sort of having the most valuable alternatives to choose from in the future is, in essence, conserving or generating the most potential for what you can do into the future. That doesn't mean that you're specifically committed to behaving or acting or doing something. But when you have that range in front of you, you have more flexibility. If your goals change, if your needs change, if your priorities change, it's nice to have the largest range of what's feasible, or having the largest range of what you can do. So in one sense, it's conserving the potential, in that there'll be times when what's going on is you're having to use your resources, and it's not immediately clear that you're going to have more coming in. So you may want to be, you know, very efficient in how you use your resources so that you have, you know, more available for tomorrow. Sometimes we're in a position that our choices is not just a matter of taking from resources. We're in a position to actually enhance our resources, to grow our resources, you know, potentially in terms of some kind of investment or in terms of our own personal well-being. So let's say exercising more to get ourselves into better shape, or, you know, doing something that, you know, stretches us. You know, might be a little bit more demanding emotionally, so that we get to practice, you know, those muscles, so to speak. So whether you're only in a position to try to conserve what you have or to generate more, the idea then is choosing the alternative that that leaves you with the most potential for tomorrow and for the future. And this is particularly important in the context of compounding. So to kind of remind you, the notion of compounding kind of comes from the idea of compound interest. And that's what happens when, let's say, you put money in a savings account and you get, you know, a certain interest rate, usually not a whole lot, but you get something. And what occurs is that if you just leave the money there, if you're not doing anything with it, well, you know, that first year, that first month or first year, or however frequently the interest is calculated, you know, it's based on the original amount that you put in. But then the next period, it's based on the amount you put in plus that interest in that first period. So now you're going to make interest on the original amount and then interest on top of the interest. And then you go into the third period, and then you've got the original interest in the original amount, it'll be interest on the interest on the interest, and then the interest on the last interest. So as you can see, as you keep going and going, over time, you actually can grow faster. Right, those financial resources can grow faster than just that interest rate times the number of years, let's say. So that's a very important insight, because that's saying that the longer you can take advantage of this compounding, the greater the impact relative to what you originally put in. So the idea of conserving or generating the most potential, in other words, being efficient with your resources, means that even if it's just a little bit of a benefit every time you make a choice, if every time you make a choice, you're either efficient with your resources, you know, you don't, let's say, you know, burn through your emotions unnecessarily, you build up your health. If you can just, like, you know, get a little bit more each time, or conserve each time a little bit more, over many years, it can become a difference between having, you know, okay, and having, well, that's really good. And that's one of the challenges with continuing to make sound decisions that is forward-looking, because in any moment it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. It may not seem like a big difference, but it's the little bits repeated over and over and over again that over time can make big differences. And so there's a certain amount of discipline there required to make, you know, sound choices. A third point is leave room for others to have choice as well. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons. Okay, so when you leave room for others to have choice, first of all, it gives them an opportunity to practice choice. It gives them an opportunity to express, you know, their wants, their spiritual side. It gives them a chance to be practiced at making choices and to be able to make sound, practical choices when necessary. Why is that important? Well, there's going to be times when you're going to be reliant on other people to choose the right thing, either to choose to fulfill commitments they've made to you, or if you're kind of in a vulnerable position and they've got to make a decision about, you know, how to help you. So that's one thing, okay? The people that you are eventually going to depend on, you want them to be able to be good decision makers, especially, you know, good decision makers when there's a crisis, which is when you, you know, are going to be most reliant on them. So if you leave room for others to have choice as well, then they will learn that when they're around you, one, they still get to express themselves. They get to express themselves spiritually. Two, when they're around you, they know that they may be called on to make a decision and a choice. And three, they'll have the confidence that they can make those good choices. It's all very important. So unlike a one-off negotiation, deal-making situation where, you know, maybe you're just trying to get the most advantage in that moment, when you recognize that there are going to be people in your lives that are going to show up repeatedly, it's not about, you know, winning the most in that moment. It's about creating confidence in each other and an acceptance in each other and a respect of each other by giving each other that kind of space. And again, as we were saying before, with respect to the the importance of compounding, when both of you recognize that you give each other this room and you have confidence about it, then the meaningfulness of the relationship increases. And that can also increase in a compound way. And the ability to rely on each other also increases. And that can be very useful for diminishing a sense of anxiety when you feel like you've got someone you can trust. And when people make good choices, it's easier to ask for their opinion or their perspective, because you have a little bit more confidence that what they have to say, you know, may actually be pretty useful and insightful. And so, you know, that's a type of relationship that gets developed over time that requires that kind of room that each have to choose as well. What's another point? Know what choices you have made, understand what worked and what didn't. I'm going to repeat that one again. Know what choices you have made and what worked and what didn't. The reality is that we make so many choices and decisions throughout the day, Many of them are pretty close to unconscious. And even if we're conscious of making the choice, it goes by so quickly and we're on to the next moment that, you know, we kind of forgot, or, you know, we don't have much of a memory of having made that choice. Because, you know, we have a finite amount of mind resources, and it can be very difficult to try to remember every moment, every choice that we've ever made. Useful to know what choices you have made. And the reason why it's useful to know what choices you have made is so that when you do reflect, okay, you know what you chose. You know, if you don't know what you've done, it's difficult to correct your behavior because you don't know what you've done. And that's the same thing with making choices. So it's not just the specific choice that you selected, but it's also how you made your choices. A big deal would be, you know, did you make a choice coming from an emotional place? You know, or, you know, did you come from a more reflective, rational place? And, you know, different choices, you know, ask for different ways of approaching it. If you're talking about getting a mortgage for a house, that's going to be a 30-year commitment, or getting a loan for a car, which is a 5-year commitment. It's very useful if you can be rational and reflective about it. You're making a long-term commitment. So you want some clarity there. You want to be able to ask yourself questions. You may want other people to ask you questions. And then there may be other moments where it's not about reflecting. It's about expressing an emotion honestly. In that case, the expression is not just in speaking, but it can be in action. And there you may want the action to be as direct an expression of what your emotions are. If you love someone, you may not want to always have a sort of cold, calculated deliberation on what you're going to do. Sometimes you just want it to be, you know, pretty quick and, you know, obvious that it's coming from as an expression of, let's say, love. Okay? And that's a form of communication. That's the other thing. You know, choices are forms of communication. So when you know what choices you've made, when you can be aware of how you've made those choices, you have a better understanding of how they worked and, you know, what didn't work. And that's just as important also. And it helps you to figure out what things to avoid in the future. And again, that gets back to that the compounding benefits over time. If you learn a little bit every day, after a while, it adds up. Okay, and one last bit of choice wisdom. Ask others what choice they observed you make. Reality check what you are doing. One of the things that is difficult for us to accept at times is that we don't always actually behave the way we choose to behave. There are times where we kind of, we've learned about ourselves that, like, okay, in our head I'll say, okay, I'm going to pick up that glass. And we pick up the glass. So when you're young and you're learning and you're wiring all those neurons, and you do the follow through. You actually make the choice, and then you watch every step of the way until you actually fulfill what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Now it's doing the whole follow through. As we as we have more time on the planet, and especially when we're doing something over and over and over again, eventually we get to the point where we feel comfortable assuming, okay, I make the decision, and my body will just automatically do it. So, for example, when learning to play piano, this could be anything, you know, it could be a sport, but I'll use piano because that's the one I'm most familiar with, or in case also electric bass, but let's say piano. You know, when you're first learning, you're very conscious and aware of actually putting the finger on the key, going through that whole process of just saying to yourself, put the finger on the key, and then, you know, just literally, you know, watching your finger as it gets to the key, and then, okay, then this, can you use this other finger to press this other key? And that whole process is very focused, very much follow through from, you know, choosing to play a note to actually playing the note. But after a while, as you become more practiced and more facile, you don't necessarily follow it all the way through. And it's important, actually, that you do that, because it takes a lot of energy, a lot of brain power to follow those all the way through. So you want to get to the point where you're developed enough where you can just trust that your body will follow through and play the note. Because that means that frees you up to do other things. And that's how musicians over time, they get so practiced and so facile that they can be more focused on what it is that they're feeling at the moment when they're playing, so that they can express the emotions more. Or they can kind of go into a visionary or a trance state and just allow, you know, sort of a higher creativity to go through them, you know, as if a higher creativity is going through them. So we do practice to get to the point where you don't have to think about it. Those are the times when it's useful to have that feedback from other people so that you can find out, okay, did I actually do what I chose to do? Or, you know, did I choose to do it and because I wasn't, you know, paying attention, I got distracted by something, you know, even if it's like a little bit, and actually didn't quite do what I said I would choose to do. So why is that important? Because if the reason for choosing what you did is to get the outcome, then you want to know that you're actually getting the outcome from what you're choosing. Right? So, you know, you're in your head, you make a choice. If you're not getting that outcome that you've chosen, and there's a breakdown between choosing in your head, could be choosing in your heart also, but there's a breakdown between you choosing and actually following through with having made the choice. And this becomes more and more significant, you know, the more complex your life becomes, because you run the risk of, yes, in your head you made your choice. You said to yourself you made your choice, but you didn't follow through. And if you don't get feedback from people in terms of what they observe, you can get into an unfortunate habit of convincing that you've made the choice. More specifically, you're conscious that you've made your choice, and you just assumed that it happened. And the implication being that over, you know, in your life, you start believing you did things that you didn't do. Just because you realize that you chose to do it, you know, you might have been at the point where it's like, oh yeah, I want to do that, and you know, you get yourself to the point of, well, I wanted to do it, and then believing, well, then I must have done it. And it can be very, it can be tempting, almost, you know, at an unconscious level to take that on, because looking at not having follow through with your choice, you know, to recognize that you've made a choice and then it didn't happen, is, it feels very disempowering. You know, you start questioning yourself. And that can either eventually corrode your confidence. That's one path. Another path is that you just ignore that completely. You just assume that, you know, whatever you choose to do, it happens. And then you ignore everything else, including, you know, empirical evidence. As a matter of fact, you stop looking for that kind of empirical evidence. You stop observing, because you run the risk of finding out that, no, you didn't do it. And, you know, that's where our egos come into play and can get in the way of us being really aware of what our reality is and how we're showing up to people. So one of the ways we can get out of these potential traps is to ask others, you know, did I do it? You know, did you see me actually follow through and do this? What exactly did I do? And that can be challenging, because you want to ask that of someone you can trust is going to be honest with telling you what's going on. You know, you have to trust that they have, first of all, that, you know, they're paying attention. Second, that they're concerned enough to give you an honest answer, and that they don't have a particular agenda where, you know, they're trying to take advantage of that discrepancy between you thinking you did something and whether you did it or not. So, again, that is about reality checking what you're doing. That is very important in all the realms of our lives and almost any decision and choice that we make. Okay, so let's pull these all together. So the choice wisdoms are: choose for yourself when you can. Choose the alternative that conserves or generates the most potential, and remembering the importance of compounding benefits over time. Leave room for others to have choice as well. Know what choices you have made. Understand what worked and what didn't. Ask others what choice they observed you make. Reality check what you are doing. Okay, so let's take a little musical break right now. And again, if you would like to call in, the number is 646-564-9714.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
We return to Economics and the Spiritual Path, hosted by David Axelrod.
Okay, well, welcome back, everyone. In case you'd still like to call in, the number is 646-564-9714. That's 646-564-9714. So, continue with a little bit of a theme of music. I'm going to experiment a little bit now and maybe try a little live music. This is a piece I'll be playing some guitar called Maja Dreams. Thank you. Okay, so hopefully that came across reasonably clearly. That was a piece called Maja Dreams. So, okay, no calls in yet today. So maybe we'll complete a little on the earlier side tonight. Next week, I hope to have one or two people on as co-hosts, and we'll be talking about generating choice awareness. So we'll get into the four realms of existence, the physical, the emotional, rational, spiritual, and what kind of exercises in each realm we can work on with keeping in mind that it's strength in all four that allows us to experience manifestly that which exists in our deepest spiritual side. So, good night for tonight, and hopefully I will be able to hear from you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.